If you earn the title, you keep the title, bitch.
You earn the title, you keep the title. I'll see you on the ice, bitch.
See you on the ice, bitch.
Leave me on the ice.
Leave that loser that you're dating today.
Dude,
leave his ass on the curb today.
He's a worm. Leave
He's
him.
He's a worm.
He's a fucking worm, dude.
He is made of worms. Like, he is just
he is worms in a human suit.
He's okay. A human worm.
Okay? He is a human suit of worms.
He's 20 worms. You don't stack need on it. One another.
He unzips his suit and he's just
2,700 worms stacked.
He was
on top of her. More worms.
Straight up evil.
Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing, and now you're trying to feed him your bodily
Thou
fluid.
Shalt kill all of your
everybody's had a dog fish a tampon out of the garbage. It ain't right
to Bible you, pages, but you can in pretend like you will. A dog.
Wow.
Watch out on the ice. Don't slip on the ice. Watch out for the ice. Don't break your ass on the ice.
Careers on the toilet.
It's icy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hey.
Queenie's part two of Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. If you haven't already, you need to go back right now and check out part one so that you can keep up with us. When we last left Tanya and Nancy, Nancy had just been brutally attacked just weeks before the 1994 Olympics. And with a pretty incredible amount of athleticism, she began to recover and she insisted she could still compete in the Olympics. We talked a little bit about how the rumor mill starts churning it up. Suspicion basically immediately falls on Tanya Harding. Interesting. Wondering why that would be. Not
Fingers
really sure.
Pointed.
And so here we have Tanya, right, who's also just about to compete in the Olympics, probably for the last time. Who's there to comfort Tanya? Because we discussed her mother, right, in part one. She's not going to be
she
a source
ain't around.
Of comfort for Tanya. No. So maybe Tanya can find comfort in her heretofore unmentioned husband.
What?
Katie is going to get into the worm that is Jeff
that
Galooly.
Is Jeff Galooly.
The worm.
Jeff Gillagoogly.
Jeff the worm Galooly.
Okay, so we're gonna backtrack a tiny little bit, and we're gonna go back to 1986 really quick. And we're talking about Tanya here. Tanya is 15 years old. And who does Tanya meet? She meets a man, well, a kid at this point, named Jeff Galooly. And he was actually 2 years older. So he was 17 when she met him. According to her, you know, according to Tanya herself, the relationship was a little bit rocky. It was a little bit volatile as well. For example, in the beginning, Jeff was like really persuasive with her and like pushy, like to go out with her. And she like that she wasn't really that into it at first. And she tells a story about how one time that he actually broke into her house during this is while he was pursuing her and she was like not having it. And he was so into her that he actually broke into her house and took her purse so that she would talk to him. And it worked because I guess I don't know if she ended up calling him or something, but they ended up sort of quickly dating after that. Because
is this so like this the weirdo purse version of like when you like go to someone's apartment and that you're seeing or dating and like you accidentally leave your favorite jacket there or whatever,
so they like text you and they're
to
like
oh
I left this one day to get my
I guess I'll have my, to come pick that up.
Yeah, is this what this is trying to
I think so, but it's like some creepy red flag version.
It is like
100% absolutely
flags. Yeah,
and yeah, he was like he was erratic like during that time.
Yeah.
So by 1988, they actually moved into a house together. And during that time, Jeff was actually working in distribution at a place called the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And it was he had a good job. Like, he was making really decent money. And by 1990, on March 18th, they were actually married. And she was 19 at that point, and he was 22. Tanya actually quoted in January of 1992 to Terry Richard of the Oregonian, quote, "Jeff always puts food on the table and a roof over my head. He paid for my skating for a couple of years. And if it had not been for him during that time, I wouldn't have been skating." So she does give him a lot of credit for that time, for he was there for her, according to her. But then they did actually get divorced on August 28th of 1993. But it was a cordial divorce. Like, they actually remained friends. And during the autumn of 1993, Galluli was actually working part-time managing Tanya Harding's career. So he was like her manager after they weren't together anymore. So they remained in a relationship. And in fact, mm-hmm. He was going to school during that time for real estate as well. By the time it was October of 1993, the two of them were actually renting a place together. So they also lived together too. So now he's managing her and living with her.
But they're divorced.
And right. And also a lot of the research that I did find about Jeff and what I did read about it is he kind of had a hold over her a little bit. He was definitely a little bit controlling, and he even admits himself that he was not perfect, and he did a lot of really messed up stuff. And we're going to get into it a little bit later when we talk about Tanya after 94. We're going to talk about some stuff that she comes out with about Jeff. Mm-hmm. But although they did remain close and still have a relationship, the relationship was always toxic and volatile. Mm-hmm. Always. Yes. Mm-hmm. No matter what.
Total codependency situation going on here. Definitely.
Well, she went from her toxic mom to the one guy who paid attention to her and, mm-hmm. Loved her, to another toxic relationship.
That's 15. Exactly. That's just really. Right.
It's rough.
It's crazy.
It's rough.
So by this point, by 1994, by 1994, he's no longer managing her, but they are, it's still the same thing. They see each other all the time. They still have a relationship. She considers him a friend and a person in her life. She definitely considers him a significant person in her life during this time, during the early mid 90s, for sure.
And very conveniently, he's still on her Olympic train. He's still just doing whatever he can to keep her successful. In some way.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. 100.
Don't hanging on to the coattails.
Yeah.
Just
Yeah.
Not seeing if he can get a taste of it himself. 100%.
And I don't feel we'll get into it, but I don't feel like he ever did any type of management, anything. Just his name there to be you get a piece of this.
He was in control.
Mm-hmm. 100. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Driving her to the rink and getting paid for it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just,
schmoozing.
Yes.
I'm sure there was schmoozing somewhere. Yeah.
And if you see the interviews with Tanya and where he's there, after competitions and stuff, you're just get this guy out of here.
Get out of here.
Out of here. His whole vibe. So Carly is going to get into what you shouldn't do when you are suspected by everyone of committing a brutal attack. God. She goes on TV, right?
Yeah, I can't with this girl. Yeah, it's rough. This story takes some turns too. It really does.
She just never does herself any favors.
No, ever. She doesn't.
Regardless of how you feel about her, guilty, not guilty, whatever, she just never does herself any damn favors her whole life. January 11th, 1994, 6 days after the attack, Tanya just decides to go on TV. Interviewed about this, because why not? She goes on to KOIN Coin TV in Portland, Oregon. She is interviewed by news anchor Ann Schatz, I believe it is. And she outright denies any involvement in the attack on Nancy Kerrigan. She asked, did she have anything to do with it? She says no. She asked whether she knew someone that could have planned the attack. Interesting. And she says, well, I've definitely thought about it. And I don't really, I don't really think so.
And meanwhile, Jeff is here too. Jeff is here.
Jeff is literally there. He is within her view right behind the camera the entire time. Creep status. Like cannot literally let her be anywhere out of his sight and out of earshot, especially for.
Right? That's what I get. Those are the vibes that I get that he's just like a total control freak.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
She says, quote, "I don't know anything about what's going on at all. You know, of course I'm going to cooperate. I mean, I don't have anything to hide. I want the person to be caught just as much as anyone else does." That's what she says. And some people are like, okay. And some people are like, yeah, right. Basically, it ends with her saying, it's very ironic. The whole interview ends with her saying, quote, "No one controls my life but me. If there's something in there that I don't like, I'm going to change it." And then she confirms that she did speak with the FBI and in Detroit and in Portland, and she's fully cooperating and she has no idea. But that little quote is very interesting for, I think, a few different reasons. One being, okay, well, no one controls my life but me. So meaning my very weird, toxic, red flag controlling husband who's standing right there. He's right there. But also if you could twist it a little bit and say, well, no one controls my life but me. If there's something else in there that I don't like, I'm going to change it. Meaning no one's going to control whether I win or lose except for me. So I need to take care of the competition.
Yes, it completely worked against her.
It worked. Exactly.
Like, people watched that and were like, she's basically saying she took care of it.
Right. But it also could be literally not that at all.
Right. Which I fully believe she did not. That's not what
she agreed.
She's not playing like 4D chess here with the interviewer. Like she's not that type.
She's not
of like conniving, really manipulative, plan ahead person.
I completely agree.
Like she's just, but people took it that way. They were like, well,
She's trying to defend her choice of being with Jeff at all.
Yes.
Having him in her life.
Yes.
And it just came and bit her right in the ass.
I mean, because it does look weird. Like
it does.
When they're on camera together, you're just like, really? It's just, it's very strange.
It's not
they're an odd pair.
It is.
There's a vibe. There's a bad vibe.
Totally.
Okay. So great. Tanya didn't have anything to do with it. So that's good. I'm really glad that she set the record straight, kind of. 2 days later, 48 hours after she decides to go on TV, sheriff's deputies arrest a man who claims to be Tanya Harding's bodyguard. Okay. And another man in Portland, Oregon, Sean Eric Eckert, 26 years old, and Derek Brian Smith, 29, were accused of conspiracy to commit second degree assault on Nancy Kerrigan. And then we have a third man, Shane Stant, who's 22, who at that point was still actively being pursued by authorities. They were still looking for him. He is the one, Shane Stant, who authorities suspected of actually clubbing Nancy Kerrigan on the leg in the attack. And he did this, according to law enforcement, as part of a plot to knock her out of the figure skating championships. So who the hell are these people? So until November of 1993, both Derek Smith and Shane Stant lived, I can't handle how they put this, in a wooded area of Corbett, east of Portland. Their neighbors said that they routinely dressed in military garb. They set booby traps on their front lawn and driveway to guard their house. Okay.
Jesus.
This is an eccentric pair of dudes. And they are, so Smith and Stant are some sort of outdoorsy militia type dudes that are good friends with Sean Eckert. Now, Sean Eckert has been friends since grade school with Jeff Galluli.
The worm.
Oh, shocker.
Oh, okay.
So the wormy's now bestie.
Law enforcement thinks that Jeff hatched a plan with these three really stand-up stooges at best.
Yeah, literally.
To take Nancy Kerrigan out of the competition. Sean Eckert, after he was arrested, claimed to police that Jeff Galluli came to him and asked him to find someone to injure Nancy Kerrigan. And he turned to Derek Smith, who then employed his, roommate, Shane Stant to actually do the deed. They contact Jeff. Jeff says, absolutely not. I'm not involved in any of this. And at that point, he was not charged. Couple other things. Derek Smith. I don't even know how to say this. I'm going to try really hard. His work history is that he was working for a company called Developmental Systems Incorporated. The description that's given is supervising mentally retarded adults. That's not our description. That's just the description that's given for this company. That's the area that he was working in until a year before he was arrested, when he says he became involved in a group called Blackstone. And this is supposed to be a Switzerland-based industrial counter-espionage and counter-terrorism organization. He used to work in developmental systems. Like, he was a supervisor. He worked essentially in healthcare, if you think about it,
right?
And now he's a counter-terrorist, counter-espionage agent. Okay, cool.
In Switzerland.
Seriously.
Out of Switzerland. Cool. And then his buddy, Sean, who says that he is the bodyguard of Tonya Harding, which is unconfirmed, by the way. He's allegedly the mastermind behind this hit. This is what these men are all confessing to after they're picked up. Sean Eckert had the same organization listed on his resume. So I guess he also worked there. Both said that this group was planning to buy land and establish a paramilitary training facility outside of Portland, Oregon.
In a wooded area?
They also said that Sean Eckert absolutely loved the police. Total police buff, had a bunch of friends in law enforcement, was kind of like a cop groupie,
mm-hmm.
which we see sometimes with like serial killers
mm-hmm.
who are like obsessed with being a cop or like pretending to be cops or like wanting to be cops
but couldn't be cops. Yes,
like he's including the sheriff's office that just arrested him. Okay. Like, so it's just, you can't make this shit up. The whole reason why these men were arrested is because earlier in that week, the week of January 13th, 1994, a minister, a church minister, went to the police and said that his friend, Sean Eckert, told him that he masterminded the attack on Nancy Kerrigan because Jeff Galluli paid him to.
Yeah, that he was like bragging about it.
Yeah.
But he told a priest. a minister, like someone who is... he's not going to keep your secret, man.
He's a man of God.
Oh my God.
And the guy just turned around and was like, I got to go tell the cops. So great. Cool.
Mastermind.
Sean.
Cool. Mastermind.
Counter-terrorism mastermind. Counter-espionage techniques right here.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, under Oregon sentencing, if you were convicted of conspiracy to commit assault in the second degree, you could face 1 to 3 years in prison or you just get probation. So that's what these guys are looking at right now. So after that, the authorities have even more of an interest in Tonya and Jeff, especially Jeff, but also Tonya, right? Because it's so interesting how this case works. Jeff is the link between the Three Stooges and Tonya is the link between Jeff and Nancy Kerrigan. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these little like
connections.
Without this person, there is no connect. Like, you can just kind of follow the trail. It wasn't thought out very well. So the police obviously want to talk to Jeff and Tonya, and Jeff and Tonya have said that they're fully cooperating. So Quinny, what does Tonya decide to do at this point while she's talking to the police? Just keep her story? I don't know anything, or?
No. Yeah, no. She changes her story.
We love it when a story changes. We love that.
Love it.
Yeah. So on January 18th of 1994, Harding was with all of her lawyers and she submitted to questioning by the DA as well as the FBI. She was interviewed for over a 10-hour period. Within 8 hours into the interview, her lawyer read a statement declaring her separation from Galluli. Quote, this is from Tonya. I continue to believe that Jeff is innocent of any wrongdoings. I wish him nothing but the best. And then on February 1st, the full FBI transcript was released. And the Seattle Times did a report on the transcript stating that Harding had changed her story completely well long into the interview. After hours of denying any of the involvement in this and trying to cover up the plot, an FBI agent actually like stopped her and he was like, so I'm just going to stop you right there. We caught you in a lie. You're lying and you're not telling the truth about this, that you didn't have any knowledge. Like, it's not true. He wouldn't be specific. Like, he wouldn't tell her exactly what the lie was. He's just like, you know, we've caught you in this lie, basically. In the transcript's very final passage, Harding stated, I hope that everyone understands that I am telling on someone I really care about. I know now that Jeff is involved and I'm sorry.
Oh. So
that, at the very end, she comes out and she's like, I knew that he was involved. I knew that some stuff was going to go down. She claims that she does not know, didn't know that the exact attack was going to happen, but that she knew that there was going to be a situation made where Nancy would not be able to compete in the championships. And that's exactly what happened. Now, obviously, the media is having a frenzy with all of this, too, while this is happening, right? And everybody wants to get interviews with her at this point. It was on January 19th that Gulli actually went and surrendered to the FBI. And on January 20th, Diane Sawyer asked Harding on a primetime special specifically about the case. And Harding still claimed that she had done absolutely nothing wrong. On January 27th, it was reported that Gulli had been testifying about the attack plot since January 26th, which was likely implicating Harding as allegedly assisting in the plot.
So we have Tanya basically turning on Jeff, so to speak, and saying, listen, I'm separating from him. I'm giving my own statement with my own lawyers. I really care about him, but I have to tell the truth. And then after that, he turns on her. Okay.
Yep. And then Tanya actually decides to come out and do a press conference. And she reads like a prepared statement and she basically apologizes again and says, you know, I'm sorry to Nancy Kerrigan for this. I'm sorry that she was attacked. And she says that she has respect for her and that she claims she did not have any knowledge in advance of the plot that was set up to disable her. Tanya also took responsibility for, quote, for failing to report things about the assault when I returned home from Nationals on January 10th. And that the failure to immediately report this information was not a crime. However, which is true, and because there are some state laws, including Oregon, that the act of concealing criminal knowledge alone by yourself is not actually a crime. It's like, I feel like she's just barely skating by, you know?
Yeah.
It's like she's right on the edge of the ice this whole time. Yep. And she just keeps getting lucky. But really, it's like, it's all starting to crumble. The media is still in a frenzy over all of this. This story was being covered in every article by this point. So by January of 1994, the story was on the covers of Sports Illustrated, Newsweek, Time Magazine, etc. The list goes on. There was also a lot more speculation now at this time, like about what Tanya's actual alleged involvement really consisted of. So people are starting to question like her as a person, really, quite frankly, and like her morality, really, which how could you not? Things are starting to not look so good.
And meanwhile, Jeff's running her this whole
time. They already didn't love her. She was not the picture perfect girl of the ice skating world by any means. And now we've got Jeff on the sidelines, right? And he's talking shit too and selling shit too, right?
So meanwhile, there's still the 1994 Olympics.
Just the Olympics are going.
Right. Oh, I was just going to say, we're still in 94. Yeah.
No big deal. Guess who's at the Olympics, Quiddies? Nancy and Tanya.
Oh, that's not awkward as hell.
Not awkered at all.
Oh, right. Totally because they both got selected for the United States team, right? For the American team.
They were even on the ice together, February 17th, 94, sharing the ice at a practice session.
Okay, it's also really, really important to state right here too that pretty much the reason for that is because Nancy got hurt. Like the fact that Tanya got to go, the attack on Nancy actually worked in Tanya's favor in a lot of fucking ways. for a minute there until it doesn't anymore.
Right.
But in the beginning there, things are looking up. Tanya's starting to pick back up again.
Yeah. But it's weird to me. Cause like, don't you think that regardless of whether anything that's actually been proven or, you know, disproven or whatever, don't you think that like Nancy could have easily been like, no, she can't be here.
Yes.
And they would have been like, you're right. Yes, Nancy, for you, we will boot her out, or we won't let her be anywhere near you, you know, whatever. Like,
she could have.
She very well could have. And she didn't.
But she didn't. I think she wanted to show up and be like, so I'm still here. Is there something else you want to do?
Exactly. Wow.
Still like, just didn't wow. work.
Didn't
like
work.
It didn't work. Yep. So sorry.
They're at the practice session and there are like 400 members of the press and media. Just
it's crazy. Just that there. Footage is crazy. It's of like insane. All the reporters that are just like, what's going to happen?
Crazy. Like, imagine like you already have enough pressure on you as it is, but then like all of this shit going down and now all this press. Scott Hamilton is pissed. Okay. Yep. He's like, this is stupid. This is like just for the tabloids. Yep. This is not what the Olympics are supposed to be. He's also just such a G of a fucking figure skater.
He totally
just
is.
Like, holy shit. Yes. Nancy, not only did she not get Tanya booted out when she could have, she wears the same fucking costume that she got attacked in.
Boom. Okay.
Mic drop. Like the yep. end.
Dude, okay. I love it. I love that. It's a great part of the story. It's it a really great part of the story. Like revenge is a bitch.
Well, she said later, obviously she chose it deliberately to wear it that day. And she said, quote, humor is good. It's empowering.
So true though.
Like, okay. Yeah. It is true. But like, we know you really are just going to, you're really, it's not for humor. It's your revenge
it's
dress.
It's straight revenge dress.
It's a revenge dress.
Like, 100.
This is Diana 100. In the black dress. Get out of here.
Yeah.
You absolutely.
Know, we know Nancy. It's fine. It's one of like the most watched telecasts. The broadcast of that February 23rd Ladies Olympics is like the most watched things in the entire world.
And there's a good footage of Paul Wiley, the male figure skater, talking about watching, like being there in the audience, watching this and talking about Nancy Kerrigan coming out and starting like in her first pose of the routine before the music starts. And he's like, from a figure skater's perspective, you see her and she has a look on her face that's like, I am going to skate this perfectly. Like I am going to do a perfect 10 routine. This will be flawless.
That's it. And she wears gold that day because that's what she wanted to win. She wanted to win the gold medal. Well, how do you think Tanya does?
Not very good. Well, she didn't do very good, right?
Well,
she does. Does she do like sixth place or something?
Well,
right?
No, hold on. Well, first, right before she's even on the ice, shit's going down. She's late. She gets on the ice right before she's about to be disqualified for being late. She's like pulling her inhaler, like out of nowhere, like trying to get on the ice. She starts her routine and then she's about to do a triple Lutz jump. Doesn't do it. Doesn't complete it. And she stops herself against the wall in the middle of her program. She's crying. She's sobbing. And she skates over to where the referees are. And she goes to the wall and puts her right boot, her right skate, just right up on the wall. Okay.
Yeah. It's a mess. It's sobbing. A mess.
People are like, what the fuck? Like, this is the elite. This is the Olympics, Tanya.
Get it together,
this isn't
Tanya.
A fucking practice. This is what are you doing? She's sobbing because right before she came out, her lace broke and they tried to fix it and it wasn't working. And it was just throwing her completely off. And she's putting her boot on there to show them the broken lace. They do in fact see that, yes, technically it is not correct. So they make the decision to allow her to leave the ice and she can fix her lace and skate again at the end of all the groups of skaters that are supposed to go.
So embarrassing.
This is in front of 6,000 people.
Super embarrassing.
Okay. It's getting broadcast. 6,000 people are there. Everyone's like booing.
Yeah, because
they know.
And at this
know.
Point, it's one of the most watched things in all of the country at this time because of the scandal. So it was like, huge.
It's like, what are you doing now, bitch? Like, what are you doing now?
Yeah. What are you pulling?
Exactly. One of the Canadian judges, Audrey Williams, she later said that she didn't. Okay. So she didn't specifically see the broken lace, but she was there at the table, obviously, when Tanya pulled up her skate. And she's just like, I could not believe she did that. Like, I could not believe the audacity.
It's literally like never been done.
It's never been done. Audrey Williams said that she just, like a lot of others, saw that this whole meltdown, the broken lace, everything is just karma, bitch. It's just all the karma coming to get you. But they let her go back on. They let her figure it out, because technically within the protocol and the rules, she's allowed a redo. So she does. So she goes out to the ice. Okay. There's like a couple people applauding. There's a lot of boos. There's a lot of catcalls. She goes on and does her performance and it's completely lackluster and she's not doing great. She only lands 3 of her 6 planned triple jumps and she only gets 8th.
Yeah, she did not do well.
Exactly. She did worse than that. She, at the end though, she smiles and she blows a kiss to the audience. And she's like, that's the best performance I could have done under the circumstances. 8th is not great. It's not what she wanted. No. What did Nancy get? Silver, Queenies. Yep. Only beat by the one Oksana Bayul.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A badass.
Badass bitch. She was.
I do wonder though. I have a little question about that.
Political.
Because I'm like, I think those judges were like, neither of them can get it.
Exactly. I completely agree. I bet you there was like an 1/8 of a point or something.
Right.
I mean, that Oksana Bayul routine because is insane.
It is. It is. She deserves it as well.
Totally.
I also wonder if Nancy thought that because she elected to just not go to the closing ceremonies.
She was very upset.
She was upset. Well, she was upset with herself because she wanted the gold and, you know, maybe she, you know, knew technical stuff that she didn't do 100% well, whatever. But she's pissed that this has gone on. This whole shit has gone on and this is how it ended up. Silver is nothing to
be bummed about.
Exactly.
No, but for she was bummed. She wanted to come back and take the gold.
Exactly.
Right.
100. I mean, I'm sorry, but silver to 8th is still pretty a big fucking leap. It's a message. Leap, okay. Exactly. Yeah. I think you're okay. It's a message. She decides to not go to the closing ceremonies, which I think is just a big fuck you. But her agent says, well, no, it's because actually we had to have her leave because there were so many death threats.
Right.
Again.
And everybody supported her too. And
that was later not confirmed to be not true. Right.
All the companies that backed her, all the endorsements that I talked about in the last episode, they all supported her. Every single one of them supported everything she did for the most part.
At that moment, they did. She does leave the Olympics early. She goes to Norway to take in a quote unquote prearranged publicity parade at Walt Disney World, who's one of her bigger sponsors. You're going to leave the closing ceremony of the Olympics that you've been
the last Olympics that you're ever going to do
that you won silver in.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
And you're not going to go and you're going to go to a Walt Disney parade.
She was over it.
She was over it.
I'm honestly amazed that she even did it.
I know.
That amount of pressure, that amount of media bullshit, scandal, the whole thing. And then she goes out, has really a flawless skate, like a beautiful skate, and then doesn't get it. I might also be like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. No more Tanya.
But then just
no
go
more
home.
Reporters.
Then just go
totally.
Home.
Totally. Yeah.
Don't go to Norway for a parade. Weird. You know, I don't know, whatever.
Okay. So though the Olympics happen and Tanya's not very happy and neither is Nancy, there are still ongoing criminal investigations. And everybody after the Olympics are over starts pleading. And so Katie's going to get into everyone's plea agreements in this whole freaking nightmare.
Well, because it's like Quinny said, everybody was connected to somebody else in some way. And the cops started to use this for their advantage. The cops and the lawyers started to use this for their advantage. And they started to get all of these guys that Quinny mentioned before to take plea agreements against each other, essentially. And they're really good at convincing people to do that. So on February 1st, of 1994, Galuli's attorney negotiated a plea bargain in exchange for testimony regarding all involved parties within the attack. He took it. He fucking straight took the shit. No questions about it. He immediately took it and he was sentenced to 2 years in prison, which he served 6 months of.
Yeah.
6 months. He served 6 months. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and then he got out and he changed his name to Jeff Stone, Quinny's. Okay.
Come on.
He has an alias.
You could pick an any name and you pick Stone.
He also publicly apologized to Kerrigan. However, adding in his statement, quote, any apology coming from me truly rings hollow.
Yeah. Okay. End quote. You're right.
Great. And okay, also, cool. Why don't you add one in for Tanya as well?
A few.
Maybe you could add an extra apology for literally ruining the woman's career. No?
And life.
Okay, cool.
Eckhart also took a plea of guilty to racketeering, which Galluli took that, pled guilty to that as well. While Stant and Smith, the men who drove the getaway car and also funneled money, both pled guilty to conspiracy to commit second degree assault. And then Tanya. On February 5th, the USFSA, which is the United States Figure Skating Association disciplinary panel, made a statement that there were reasonable grounds to believe that Tanya had violated the sports code of ethics and that her admitted failure to report about the assault on a fellow competitor, supported by her FBI transcripts as well, had led to Harding being formally charged with, quote, making false statements about her knowledge. So the USFSA recommended that she face disciplinary hearing. And Claire Ferguson, who was the president of the USFSA, actually made a decision not to suspend Harding's membership. So, like, she could still have her membership while the hearing went on and took place. So then the panel examined more evidence, including the testimonies of Stant and Smith, Harding and Galluli's telephone records, and also notes that were found in a Portland saloon trash bin on January 30th. And Harding was given 30 days to respond to that.
She also took a plea with criminal investigators, pled guilty to conspiracy to hinder prosecution.
For not saying that she knew anything about it when she did.
Right. So outside of the Figure Skating Association, she didn't get out of this criminal investigation without plea. She pled guilty. She didn't escape criminal charges, took a plea and admitted guilt. She got probation for that under the terms of her plea agreement. But people were very angry about that because
she got probation and $100,000 fine. And she also got community service as well. Yeah. 500 hours. And yeah, and people were pissed. Yeah.
People were really pissed because they thought that she had more to do with it than that. And that she should really be held accountable. And so she took that plea on March 16th. And by the time we get to March 21st, they conclude the criminal investigation. And the district attorney's office says, we want to send this to grand jury. Now, she's already taken a plea, so she can't be charged.
She can't be prosecuted any further, right?
No, right. But because they recommended that it go to grand jury, they showed the evidence to a grand jury, because this is just a procedural thing at this point. A Portland grand jury voted to indict Tanya Harding, saying there was evidence that she participated in the attack on Nancy Kerrigan. They also said there was evidence that Tanya used money provided by the Figure Skating Association to finance the assault.
Yes, correct.
And they implied that Tanya had been part of the plot from the very beginning. Active participant. But she could not go to in any do anything about it. She would have gone to trial, but because she already took a plea, nothing.
They couldn't do anything.
Which is crazy.
It is, but you're right though, Quinny, because they still got to say it all.
Yep.
Yeah. And present it all and put it's it on still public on the record.
Yes.
And so everybody fucking still knows that shit and sees that she really did have something to do with it. She knew. Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it in final thoughts. Yeah.
And so after all that, on June 30th, we have the U.S. Figure Skating Association. They hand down their disciplinary ruling to Tanya Harding. And they say, quote, by a preponderance of the evidence. So we're just talking about 51%, Quinny's, just more than half. That's it. Right. By a preponderance of the evidence, the panel did conclude that Tanya Harding had prior knowledge and was involved prior to the incident. This is based on civil standards, not criminal standards, bank records, phone records, and the way that they came together to establish this case. Then they stripped Tanya of her 1994 U.S. Championship title, which is fucking so brutal. It's on its own. Brutal.
But that's the title that she took because Nancy wasn't there, dude.
Yeah, but like
I don't, you know. So I feel like I get
still,
it.
But she still skated it. She still did. Okay,
she's we'll right.
Still, yeah. I have so many. Yeah. Oh my god. So many
yeah,
okay.
I get that.
All right. All right.
And not only that, but they banned her for life from participating in any U.S. Figure Skating Association events, either as a skater or coach.
Yeah, which is so terrible too. Like it that's is. Just
which for Tanya Harding is worse than any type worse of than jail anything. Time or like anything. And you're thinking, oh, okay, fine. Like she can't compete anymore, right? But she can still do like professional skating circuit, right? Like she can still do tours. She can still do like stuff that's not regulated by the FSA. Nope.
Right.
No one wanted anything to do with Tanya Harding. No skaters would work with her. No promoters would take her on. And she made absolutely no money on this entire thing. Not a freaking dime on this thing. I'm just blown away by that.
I have so many thoughts.
Because so many the media, thoughts. I know we got to get to final thoughts. So because the media is absolutely obsessed with this, we get a CBS special. Quinny is called Breaking the Ice. I literally can't.
Yeah.
By the time it's 1998, you're just like, all right. You know what I mean? We get it.
OJ's happened. Like we have things.
We get it.
I mean, yes, it's 4 years later now. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like it has been some years. The story is not as, you know, talked about as it was when it was obviously the frenzy that it was, but it's like almost weird to me that she would want to go back and revisit it and go hash this out in an interview session with a dude. Like, I don't know.
I know.
I just found the whole thing really strange.
And they both say like they both wish each other the best and like that they don't have ill will towards each other and like there's no feud. Right. I wonder if they were both approached and they were both like, I just want to put an end to this.
Yeah. Like let's just close like I'm closure. Sure they were. Let's do closure. Yep. Let's do closure.
Let's just be like, we're done. We're here to tell you it's over. Leave us alone.
Please never bring it up again. Please. Yeah.
Well, Kerrigan does say in it also that she read the FBI transcripts that were released.
Yes.
She says that she does believe that Tanya did have more to do with it than what she said she was responsible for.
Carly, what does Nancy get up to after all this shit is over? She busy?
Some weird stuff goes on. She goes in that Walt Disney parade, right? And apparently this is when like there's like a little bit of a taste. She gets a little bit of a taste of what Tanya's had to deal with because she does something that gets caught on microphone and the media kills her for it. Okay. Mm. And like, and all in all, it's not that bad, especially with what Tanya has done or has dealt with, but she's caught on a microphone saying to literal Mickey Mouse.
Okay. I can't.
She says, quote, "This is dumb. I hate it. This is the corniest thing I've ever done." And apparently she swears it was taken out of context. She was just saying like, not, you know, not the parade is the corniest thing, but like the fact that I have to wear my silver medal that I literally won at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. That's corny. Okay. That's the corny part.
Okay.
The silver medal that you've worked your butt off for 4 years, but that's corny. Cool. Not the parade with Mickey Mouse and Goofy and friends.
Yeah, she's a little bit strange. They both are. They're both fucking strange.
They both are.
She swears that it's taken out of context and she says she would never say such a thing about the parade because she said that her parents have always taught her to not brag about her accomplishments. Okay, well, that's like a humble brag right there.
I struggle. Yeah,
I have so many accomplishments that my parents are like, Nancy, it's not cool to shove that in everyone's face.
Let someone else have always some accomplishments win. For a minute.
I don't love it.
No.
I don't love it. And neither does the media. Oh, then she adds that, oh, Mickey, who could find fault with Mickey Mouse? He's the greatest mouse I've ever known. What are you saying? And like you're trying to backpedal and it's not working. And it's like
very stupid. Regina George comment. It is. Like you're just it like, is. All right, okay.
Oh, cool. I love that bracelet. Where'd you get it?
That
anyway.
Is the ugliest effing bracelet I've ever seen.
Exactly. That's what it is. This whole thing. After this, the media kind of gives her very intense backlash, like something that she's never had to deal with because she's always been the darling of the figure skating world. Because of this, all those endorsements that she got previously that she announced and talked about, television deals, all that, dropped after the Olympics.
Wow.
Including possibly the $2 million sponsor of literal Walt Disney World that you just were on microphone just dogging. So you're not doing great, Nance. After Olympics, she turns professional. She goes on to do some ice wars. She does a variety of ice shows. She goes to Champions on Ice, Broadway on Ice. She goes and does an ice show adaptation of Footloose. I get it. You can't always be an Olympian, but I feel like your fuck you to the Olympics like really backfired on you. And like yes, now you're like
I think so too.
Scrambling to try to get back in good graces and
right
stuff for their career. And it's not doing great. But she does do a couple good things. She goes on and becomes a national spokeswoman for Fight for Sight because, you know, her mother had that random weird blindness that she's had to deal with. She also creates the Nancy Kerrigan Foundation, which is something to aim awareness and support for the vision impaired. She gets married. She has children. And that's basically it.
Okay.
Like, good for her. She finds love and she becomes a mom, which is what she's always wanted to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of a like lackluster end, you know?
This did not work out well for it did not. Anyone. No.
Okay. And then Tanya?
Yeah. Yeah, Quinny. What does Tanya get up to?
So Tanya fucking really does a lot. She does a lot just in the year 94. We're going to talk about the big ones. So in September of 1994, Penthouse Magazine published stills from a sex tape, which featured Tanya and her then husband, Jeff Galooly. The tape, which was sold by Jeff to a television show for an unannounced...
Scum of the earth.
Yeah, he gave it away for an undisclosed amount of money. We don't know how much money he got for that. They assume he got a decent amount. She became extremely popular after this came out, and it actually increased Tanya's popularity even more. After being mired in several controversies, Tanya Hardy decided to build a career in boxing. Before this, she had done a movie, okay? In 1994, she also was cast in a movie called Breakaway, which was an action film, and the plot centered on Harding being unwittingly involved in an organized crime syndicate's attempt to violently recover $300,000 of stolen money, okay? And this was alongside Terry Frucianti and Joseph Joe Estevez. And the film was released in 1996. Okay. Hilarious. I can't.
Oh, wow.
Tanya made her professional boxing debut in the year 2003. After losing her debut match, she was not seen in any other single professional boxing event for a year. Then in 2004, Tanya was pitted against Amy Johnson, and she actually got beaten by Amy beat her. Unfortunately, Tanya's boxing career actually came to an end pretty quickly. It only lasted for a few years there. And the reason for that is because of Tanya's health condition, asthma. She could not continue boxing because it was affecting her breathing and her health. And so that's why she stopped. In 2008, Tanya released her autobiography that was titled The Tanya Tapes. And in this book, she has stated that she was threatened by Jeff Galooly. So she comes out with this book and she says that during the time of the attack, that Jeff Galooly and two men that she did not know sexually assaulted her. They raped her and they told her that she had to go this way with the story. Like, you have to say this about what happened to Nancy or we'll do this to you again. Basically, like, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to say. And that's what she claims. Jeff still denies these claims to this day. He, in fact, has laughed at a number of people, journalists who have interviewed him, laughed right in their face. And when they ask him why he's laughing, he says, quote, "I just think it's so comedic that she would even accuse me of that. And it's all a crock of shit." So he still denies that the claim to this day. She was also signed. Yeah, this was in 2018. She got signed to the cast of the popular TV show Dancing with the Stars. It was the 26th season, and it was titled Dancing with the Stars Athletes. And so it featured all past and present athletes in the cast. And she actually made it all the way to the finals.
She did really well.
Mm-hmm. She did really good. And I think she ended up coming in third. So she got married a second time. She married Michael Smith in 1995, and then they divorced in 1996. And October 29th of 1996, this one's good. Harding actually received media attention after using mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to help revive an 81-year-old woman who collapsed at a bar in Portland while playing video poker.
She saved
an 80-something-year-old woman and got media attention for it. That's ridiculous, and I had to mention that
There's
one.
There's a lot there.
Yes. Okay, then here's another one. This one's crazy, too. February of 2000, Harding attacked her then-boyfriend, Darren Silver, repeatedly by punching him in the face and throwing a hubcap at his head. The attack left Silver with a very bloodied face, and Harding was indeed arrested. She initially pleaded not guilty to misdemeanor charges, but in a May trial in Clark County District Court, admitted to attacking Silver, and she was sentenced to 3 days in jail, 10 days of community service, as well as a suspended jail sentence of 167 days. She then married for the third time, 42-year-old Joseph Price on June 23rd of 2010, when she was 39 years old, and she gave birth to a son named Gordon on February 19th of 2011. Harding also stated on the Ellen DeGeneres show on February 26th of 2018 that she is still active in skating and that she practices 3 times a week. She performs several jumps and spins on the show. She also trains with her former coach, Dodie, and she also said that she wore ice skates during boxing training as well, and that while she was training for boxing, she actually wore her ice skates like in the gym. So yeah.
Queenie's. That's her life. She just loved it so much.
She did a bunch of other stuff too. That's not even all of it. She was on a cooking show. She was on multiple reality TV shows.
Landscaping.
She made lots of appearances.
Yes. That's what she does now, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Like a landscaping construction.
Yes, she's now landscaping and like, yeah, she does projects at houses and stuff. So she had an active life, I would say, after that.
She really has. I have the media obsession down on here just because you could not watch a late night talk show or SNL or a stand-up comedian in the late 90s without them bringing up Tanya Harding.
Yeah, the Seinfeld episode with the skate.
Everyone was using it as just a total punchline, thinking that it was the funniest thing ever. You know, like, where's Tanya Harding when you need her, kneecapping someone?
I know.
That was like a thing for so long. It really was. You know, like even during the pandemic, there was a meme of Tanya and Nancy on the ice. Over Nancy's head, it said, "My travel plans." And over Tanya's head, it said, "COVID-19.
Oh, my God.
In 2020. And we're still laughing about it. Like, we're still talking about it. It's still a punchline, but most people really don't understand the story that was behind it. So that's kind of why we wanted to go through this series, Quinnies, and we got to get into final thoughts on Tanya Harding. I highly recommend I, Tanya. I loved it.
It was so well done.
I loved it. I read this fucking whole article. Okay. It was from vulture.com, and it was called A Fact Check Guide to What's True and What's Not in I, Tanya. So much stuff is very accurate in the movie. There is a lot of accurate things in the movie for sure, which says a lot for a Hollywood movie because they don't do that very often. So
they go hard into the abuse angle between Jeff and Tanya, and it's going both ways. They're kicking the shit out of each other in the whole movie.
Oh, yes.
The whole time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, so they, I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I will say that I do wish very much. I love Margot Robbie. I think she is an amazing actress. I'm a huge fan. I really wanted like Florence Pugh to play Tanya Harding because
Florence Pugh is so good,
but like,
both like it's like
Margot Robbie is like a tall, You could not make that woman unattractive. You exactly. just can't.
You can't.
You can't make her like a real, because I feel like Tanya was so muscular and like so just right. such and a powerhouse.
And she was short.
And so short.
Florence in Wrestling With My Family.
No,
did you watch
it.
That?
No.
That's like before she got all of these.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Things.
You have remind me. You have to remind me who the fuck Florence Pugh is. Come on.
She's everywhere now. She was in The Wonder. She's in Don't Worry, Darling with Harry Styles.
Which is
she
great.
Was in The Newest Little Women. She played Amy March. She was.
She is the lead in Midsommar, in the horror film Midsommar. She's right. great in it.
She is Black Widow's sister in the Black Widow movie.
Like, she's everywhere. She's everywhere. Quinny. You got to check out Don't Worry, Darling.
The frown.
Too.
She does the Carly frown. That's her whole thing. Is the Carly frown.
Right.
And it's
yes.
Her and
yes.
I. Get it.
Yeah.
She okay. Before all of this, years ago, she did a movie called Wrestling With My Family, and it's based on a true story about this girl wrestler. She has black hair in the movie. The woman who plays Cersei, whatever, in Game of Thrones is her
Cersei
mom.
Cersei Lannister.
Yes. The woman who plays her mom, and The Rock's in it. The movie's fun. It's, you know, it's not wrestling, but it's a good, you know, it's a pretty good movie. But her stature, like just her moving in that movie and like the way her body looks, like it would be, she would have been the perfect time. Yeah.
I kept wanting like a very short, yes. muscular actress
right.
to do that. I mean, I can't say enough good things about Margot Robbie. No. I think she's brilliant, but she's I'm like,
but
she's
if you
a
notice,
supermodel. She's literally a supermodel.
Yeah,
the
she
person
is.
Who did her stunts had that body.
Yes.
Like during the like triple Lutzes and the whatever, you can tell the difference. Mm-hmm. And that person made much more sense than like Margot Robbie's like slight like
tall lengthy self.
Barbie.
Yeah.
She's mm-hmm. literally Barbie.
Yeah, yeah, she is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quinny's
final thoughts.
What the hell? What do you Quinny's think actually went down? Like, what do you like? Do you think, what do you think? What's your take on this whole thing?
I mean, I think that they were really seriously rivals. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. I think they had a serious rivalry. I think the rivalry was more like on fire and inflamed like than people even realized or even mm-hmm. knew. Mm-hmm. Tanya talks about how they hung out during skating times.
Yes.
They mm-hmm. stayed in the same room together sometimes. They watched TV together. They had in-depth conversations together.
Apparently they drank a beer every
right.
now and then.
They would shotgun a beer real yep. quick.
Yeah. I think that something that went down. I seriously think that something went down between them personally and competitively. Mm-hmm. Dude, I was an athlete and I were in school, in grade school. And I remember if there was somebody that you didn't get along with and you were on the same team as them and you were swimming together, but you didn't like that person, like you had beef with that person and you were always trying to be better than that person. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like I was that girl. I did that. I had a person that I was competitive with during my swim team days and I had to qualify to state to beat this bitch. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. I fucking felt that with every inch of my fucking little teenage being at that yeah. time. You know yeah. what I mean? Full-fledged. And it was real. It was palpable. The beef between me and that girl. And it lasted for a long time. And I think that when you get somebody that is that neck and neck with you and that it's constantly being tossed up in the air as to whether which one is better, because maybe one isn't necessarily better than the other. They each have their own individual strengths, but you don't see that when you're in the fight, man.
That's
so
true.
Quinny, do you think that she knew that she was
yeah.
involved? Do you think she helped?
100%. I absolutely think that they talked about it. I read an article where it talks about one of the guys said that they fucking literally sat at a table in a fucking diner and they talked about this fucking shit. And originally they were gonna originally their original plan was to get her in a car accident. That was the original plan. The original plan between those men was to make it look like she got into a tragic accident. That's what their original plan was. And then they were like, no, okay, let's just physically injure her. Let's not actually murder her. So I think that there were bigger plans to get her out of the picture. I think it was premeditated to get her out of the picture. And I 100% believe that Nancy knew about that and was probably sat in. Oh, I'm always saying Nancy. Oh my God. I swear Tanya was responsible And I swear she probably came in that diner one or two times herself and sat with those men and had a conversation. I would not be surprised. And we'll never really know, really.
No, we won't.
So that's my take on it, Quinns.
I have a lot of feelings. I have a lot of thoughts. I definitely think that Tanya was a balls to the wall, badass. Like, I'm going to fuck you up and I'm going to fuck you up right here and now.
Yeah.
And that's it. And like, look at what she's had to do with her whole life, her upbringing. But I don't think that she knew about it.
I don't either.
I don't think she did. I know. And I'm shocked that I don't think that she, I'm shocked that I'm not immediately like, yes, guilty. She knew all the things.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't think she knew all the things, and I think she had to know something.
I don't necessarily think she was completely in the dark about every single, all of it. I don't think she was just completely blindsided. I do think that she's not, like we said kind of earlier, she's not the manipulative, like sneaky, weaselly type. She's just like, she would be like, come out on the ice, Nancy. Come out here, Nance. I'll get you right fucking here. I will punch your fucking lights out here at the Olympics right now.
In front of the judges.
Exactly. Yes. And I would like them to judge me on it. Thank you. On my form. I would like
them to score me on a 1 to 10. That's what I would
like. Exactly. Like, that's what I feel she emanates. I feel like if she even like heard about it or like was thinking maybe Jeff the Worm and everybody else is doing something, like maybe she said one day, like, oh man, I wish just something fucking bad would happen to her so she wouldn't be around. And if she heard murmurings or like had an inkling, maybe. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Do I think that she never didn't divulge what she knew when she did know it? Sure. Yeah, I do. I don't think that she was in the plan. I think she was A, too fucking busy skating to making Jeff have a fucking income.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That he's squirreling away with his best fucking friend and everybody fucking else. And I feel like she would just be, she's just too much of an upfront person to do a behind the scenes. I'm shocked that I don't think that she's like fucking guilty bitch.
You know? Because it is, because all these years you're just like, oh, Tanya Harding,
such a fucking hard end of the stick regardless. Like, she still had all this talent that people overlook because of all this craziness.
She was a crazy good skater.
She was.
Yeah, she was.
She was amazing. Really amazing. A
gorgeous, beautiful,
she also did affluent a lot,
family, whatever. No, she was not.
She also did a lot for the establishment of ice skating too.
She did a shit ton for them and they gave her nothing
her shit for it. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And they stripped her of her title, which I'm just like, this is just,
I don't like mean. That either.
They wanted to get rid of her. They just didn't want to deal with her anymore.
Yeah. Period. They wanted to make an example of her and they did. I think Tanya Harding is guilty of hanging around with bad fucking people.
Yeah.
With people that you do not want to hang around with. I think she was around them her whole life. Right. I think she is a victim of the company that she kept. Absolutely. You cannot tell me that her asshole husband becomes her quote unquote manager a couple months before this goes down.
Yeah.
So now I understand, Jeff. So now you're knocking out the competition so that Tanya can win at the Olympics
so you can
make more money. Like,
essentially
pimping her out
for
money.
Like her mom.
For the ice skating world. Yeah.
For the ice skating world. And I honestly do not think that she knew it was going to happen. I don't think she was part of the conversations between those men. I think it was Jeff and his douchebag friends who I don't even think she wanted to be around most of the time.
No.
And then I think the second that it happened, she turned to him and was like, what the fuck did you do?
Exactly. Yeah. And like, she didn't cop immediately to knowing about it.
No.
Thinking about it even.
And he might have said, I took care of it, Tanya. That's what I did.
Uh-huh.
And she definitely withheld that.
I didn't do anything.
Right. I took care of it.
Yeah.
I had it taken care of.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. At that moment. That's what she's guilty of.
Yeah.
She's guilty of hearing about it and going, so that was my husband.
Uh-huh.
Or my ex-husband or my manager, whatever the hell you want to call him.
Yeah.
He ruined her. He absolutely 100% ruined her. And just the fact that it's just his loser friends that are involved, that are like not, like there's just no one even connected to Tanya other than Jeff.
Yeah.
It's just like, I just feel like the woman is a lot of things. She's not particularly pleasant. She's very rough around the edges. Even now, like in the interviews with her, you're
damn.
Oh my God. Like she's seen some shit. She's for been sure. around some shit, and she's had a hard life before all of this and after this.
Right.
And like, sure, like yeah. honestly, she's watching her get her ass kicked boxing. I'm like, oh my God, she is familiar with pain. She can take it. I honestly think she gave it her best shot. She got mixed up with the wrong dude.
Wrong people. Yeah.
I just hate that for her. I really do. And also like in today's day and age where like Michael Phelps is smoking a bong on the front of a magazine.
I know.
And still a gold medalist and like all of these things. This shit would not be because this happened in women's figure skating, because this happened to these two young
up and coming women.
Yes. Yeah. They were very much taken for a ride on this. Absolutely. Because now we have Olympic athletes like coming out and talking about mental health.
Yeah.
Michael Phelps is smoking weed and saying, yeah, I smoked weed. Like, you know, it's just like we have people who are like, I can't take the pressure of like Simone Biles.
Exactly.
I can't take the pressure of this. And I, for my own health, I have to step away from this. This has been going on.
Yeah.
This was going on in 1994.
And she still got like mixed review about that.
Yes.
Still.
We have to look at how critically we judge these people. Could you do that?
Fuck no.
Could you stand up and do like,
let alone the lifestyle you have to lead to even get to that point.
And she's Tanya Harding scraped and scrounged her way into every fucking competition she was ever in. Mm-hmm. And they just took it from her. They really took it from her. And all the figure skaters are still so bitter towards her. And all of the documentaries are like, she got what she deserved. I'm like, you guys are assholes.
You know she was talented. You knew she was.
Like you guys you are dead. Like
she was one of the greatest. She was one of the greats of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can't take the triple axel away from her.
They cannot.
No, they can never take that away from her.
I love you, Quinnies.
Love you, Quinns. I'm going to bed.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Listen to Straight Up Evil.